That's an old John R. Rice song. And, you know, have you ever gotten a point in your life where you just feel like the clouds are always out? The sun's not really quite as bright as it used to be. And usually it's because there's something between us and our Savior. And that's one of those things we need to, you know what? I think a lot of people have no understanding of forgiveness. And God will give forgiveness. And when He gives forgiveness, He gives it completely. And I think sometimes we do the same thing with each other. Forgiveness is a very important part. Bitterness can destroy everybody. And, you know, it's interesting. Reprove me. He says, reprove me and then embrace me. I just want to be right. And by the way, that's how you raise kids. You don't hold a grudge. They do something wrong. You deal with it. It's done. Give them a hug. Give them a kiss. It's all over. Let's move on. Because that's how God takes care of us. That's how He deals with us. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. I'm going to reread a real portion, a little portion of Joshua we talked about last week. I had two promises to possess that I wanted to give you today. And the more I looked at it, the more I got looking at it, I thought, no, we'll be here till next Sunday. So I figured I better not do that. And to be honest with you, if we don't take some time with it, we'll probably forget the idea. And we might just slide out just a tad early. Remember, I'm not snubbing anybody. But Jan and I, in fact, I'll probably have somebody pray for us. But we're going to slide right out, get in the car, and move. We've got to be in Winston-Salem later in the evening for the service. And you pray for us, though. We'll be there all week. We'll be coming back on Friday. It's Monday night. And there'll be preachers there from all over the country, literally from lots of portions of the world. And there'll be a couple thousand of them there. And it's a great encouragement to the preachers. And they go back. There's some folks who are in the middle of nowhere. And I have some preacher friends right here in this canon. We've got several here. And we kind of encourage. We've got preachers' fellowship, and we got preachers in our own church here. We encourage one another, and our folks here, your encouragement. But you know, some folks are out in the middle of nowhere, and they're trying to make this thing work, and the Lord's with them. I don't know, but you know, sometimes it's nice to have something tangible, you know, somebody's hand to shake, and this is something they look forward to every year. And so you just pray that the Lord will work in hearts and encourage them, keep on doing the work that God has called them to do. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1. Of course, they have come out of the wilderness where they've been for 40 years, all because they wouldn't go into the promised land in the first place. Joshua, did I say 1? 6. Did I say 6? 6, verse 1. Okay. And they could have been in the promised land. They could have possessed the promise 40 years earlier, but they didn't, because even though God has said they could have it, they saw giants in the land. I said, well, they're bigger than we are. Well, yeah, but they're not bigger than God. In fact, if they were bigger than the giants, then they would think that they did it. But see, God's trying to build faith in Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to Him must believe that He is who He says He is, and He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. So God was trying to, He had to make it look impossible so that when He did it, we know God did it. So when things, in fact, there's been some times in my life where I thought, this is great, because I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. There's nothing I can do. I mean, I'm doing everything, really, I'm kind of raked my brow. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do the best I know how, and I'm still between a rock and a hard place, so I can't do anything. I guess God's going to have to step in. To be honest with you, there's been times in my life where that's actually been exciting, because I'm waiting to see what He's going to do. And He does. He has. He does what He says He's going to do. He takes care of us. Anyway, so they could have gone in, but they spent their life in the wilderness where too many people spend their lives. God says, I'll give you life and life more abundantly, but we don't take it because we're not sure He can do it. So they're over across Jordan, and now Joshua's going to help them take the promised land. This is the first city. Verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, watch this, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Whose hand is Jericho in? God has given him who, in whose hand? Joshua. But who gave it to him? God. There you go. All right. It's in Joshua's hand. He says, I've given unto you these people. God's given. So it's theirs to take. And he said, and ye shall compass the city, verse 3, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. I'm not going to go into all this. We did it last week. Don't want a big repeat here. But there's going to walk around the city. And you know other places where it says don't say a word, just to keep everything quiet. Just walk around the city. Seems crazy. But that's what God said to do to possess the promise. Verse 4, and the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day we shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let even 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And so they go and they do this. Now turn to verse 20. Same chapter, Joshua 6, verse 20. So he told us what to do. So here, verse 20, this is what they did. So the priests, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Walking around the city did not make the walls fall down. God made the walls fall down when they walked around the city as he told them to do. Sometimes what he asks us to do is very silly to us. If it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. He wants us to do what he's called us to do, when he's called us to do it, and how he's called us to do it. And when we do that, it's amazing what God will do. Let's pray. And I was going to say more promises to possess, but I only got one this time, so I'm going to go ahead and name it this time. And we'll work with this. We'll get here in a minute. Possess the guidance. Possess the guidance. You understand what I'm talking about. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. Again, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Lord, if we could just live by your promises. That's all you're asking us to do. And live by faith, really, is what you're asking us to do. To live by the promises. Just do right and let the promises up to you. Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to move in my heart and move in the hearts of these dear folks. We have folks who are struggling. The clouds are covering their skies. And the sun can shine again in their heart. If they will just let God be God in their life. And Lord, that's what we're asking. So we put in your hands, we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Several weeks ago, I gave a message on possessing the promises. And I gave the background and some principles. Now last week, I spoke on two promises that we should possess. See, the thing is, Joshua had been given the promise of the promised land. All he needed to do was to possess what God had already given him. He didn't have, listen, it wasn't really their battle. They were going to go through some process, but God was going to give them the possession. To possess them, we need to take them by faith in the way God has prescribed us to take them. And I want to speak on another one here this morning. It's ours to possess. Now let me refresh your memory real quick. Moses led the Israelites to the edge of the land. They saw the giants and said, it's too big obstacles. We can't do this. And listen, the devil, the world, and our own doubt wants us to believe that we cannot have the promises of God, as if God's promises, or God's too weak to deliver on his promises. Or he lied to us. So instead of trusting God and going ahead and possessing the land that God had prepared for them, they turned back and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And everyone that had decided not to take God's word on the promise and go in and possess the land died in the wilderness. We may get saved and live our entire life never really experiencing the promises of God in our life because we just refused to possess it. Everyone died in the wilderness except the young ones, 21 and under, and everyone but Joshua and Caleb, who had said, "We can take it." And God gave it to them. Now, after 40 years in the wilderness, Moses dies. And Joshua is now supposed to try to go in and possess the land. And Joshua leads him across the Jordan River into Jericho, and he says, "Here is what I want you to do." This is what God says. "Here's what I want you to do to possess the promise. I want you to walk around the city." Walking around the city was going to be of no help in taking the city on face value. But that was what the Lord asked them to do in order, listen, to exercise faith that he would give them the promise. Now, there's a lot of things. Let me give you a little illustration here. I have folks who say, I'm getting kind of ahead of myself, but I want you to grow in the Lord. And we talked about growth in the Lord. And part of that growth is that we need to add to our faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity. If we will go through the process and learn the Word of God, God will help you to grow so that you're not barren and unfruitful, that you aren't lacking wisdom, that you're not blind, not being able to see afar, that you can live a life, you have some sense about us in the Christian life. And God wants us to do that. Here's the thing. I always feel this way. I guess it's just the old devil trying to defeat me too. We'll have a bunch of visitors one Sunday, and I'm preaching on something. I think, man, they don't even want to hear that. Why in the world are you, why was I supposed to preach this today? And they're never going to come back. And I think sometimes people say, well, he preached, so that doesn't have anything to do with me. Not today. But, you know, we do the same thing. We say, well, why do I need to learn my times tape tables, you know, when you're in third grade? Never going to use that. No, not today, but you're going to. Same thing that goes with God's words. I went. You know, I get into a series of things, and we go on, and you say, well, none of this has to do with me. It will. There's no temptation that's taken you except that which is common to man. So listen, you say, well, I got to go through this process. This doesn't seem to be making. Wait. Add your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge and knowledge temperance. Keep listening. To temperance, patience. Keep hearing it. Keep reading your Bible. Spend some time. Study it. And you will find that that's the process. That's the walking around the city that God is asking you to do. And you feel like you're just treading water, or you're on a treadmill, and you're not getting anything out of this. This is what God wants you to do. And in the midst of all that, if you're listening, adding to your faith, he says, you're going to grow. You won't be barren. You won't be fruitless. You will get the victory. All of a sudden, you will know how to treat your wife. You will know how to treat your husband. You will know how to raise your kids. You will know how to live a life that's victorious. You will. And the same goes for all these other promises that God has given to us to possess. What he asks of us to do in order to possess the promise may look like it has no tangible correlation with helping us to possess that promise. But if it's what God wants us to do, we are to exercise our faith in order to receive the promise and just do it. In fact, sometimes it's like he's asking us to go the opposite direction where we need to be going. You know, I need to straighten my wife out. And he said, no, love her. Care for her. Cherish her. Let her know that she's the apple of your eye. Well, that's not going to get any better. You never know. God says it works. Well, I need to straighten my husband out. I'll tell you what. Well, then, he's a dirty rotten. Do your best to respect him. Walking around the city. This is a waste of time. Not going to get anything done. May take a while. May take 7 days. May take 7 years. You'd be surprised when you do it God's way. Now, the first two promises we talked about was we need to possess the gospel. I hope you know you're saved. This is for by grace, so you're saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The first gift is salvation. There's not one person that can work their way to heaven. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6 says. As hard as I try, I'm not going to measure up to the glory of God. For all have sinned, missed the mark, and come short of the glory of God. But he says, if you ask me to save you, I will. Well, I wouldn't save you if I were you. I wouldn't save me if I were you, right? But I will. Why? Well, you see, I've already commended my love toward you, and while I knew you were going to be a sinner, I died for you in that cross back there. And Lord, laid on me all the iniquity of us all of our sin. All of your sin was put on me. And when I died, I paid for all of it. All I'm asking you to do is receive it. Now, when you receive it, you've got to admit two things. One, you're guilty. And two, you can't do anything about it. That's too good to be true. Don't you think I need to prove to God how good I am and, you know, make up, you know, and then he'll like, he sees right through all that. It doesn't seem to make sense. No, it doesn't need to make sense. Here's what I want you to do. Call the name of the Lord and I'll save you. Really? Okay. That's the process. Not hard for salvation. Man makes religion difficult. Second, we learned that we could possess the growth. And that's what I just mentioned a few minutes ago. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says that we're supposed to add to our faith. You get saved, that's good. We say, well, that's where I'm going to go from there. I want to grow. He wants you to grow in him. Become what he wants you to be. And that's going to be victorious. But it's sometimes a little laborious. Study to show thyself approved, a workman needed not to be ashamed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. Listen, for reproof, that's what's not right. For corrections, how to get right. Instruction in righteousness. How to stay right. That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, in order to grow in Christ, we need to go through the process of getting to know Jesus. That's a promise. He will, I'll never be able to. Everything you need to know, God will teach you. I know so many folks have heard this. We've got a lot of visitors here and folks who hadn't been here long. I wasn't long here. I was 43 years old when I took this church. I'd been in the ministry for many years before that and worked in many portions of the ministry, but I'd never been the pastor. I wasn't the one that they came into and, you know, this problem, that problem, how are we going to do this, and finances and all this kind of stuff. And I learned early on, and this was a wonderful revelation, that God knows I'm stupid. He knows there's so many things that I don't know. And he knows that I don't know them. But he knows what I need to know. And so if I will keep my nose in a book and keep myself on my knees, and I will listen for in my heart, and I will let him guide my thoughts, and I will spend my time with him, he will tell me what I need to do, what I need to know to do the job. And if he doesn't tell me, it's his fault. He can't blame me. If I'm spending my time learning the Word of God and I'm studying, I'm asking God, tell me what I'm supposed to do here. If he doesn't tell me, it's his fault. I can't tell you how many times I was just doing my regular study, my regular devotions in the morning, and I'll get into the office and somebody would come in and they got an issue. And all of a sudden, I know the answer. You know why I saw it this morning? I didn't tell him just saw this morning. Now, I've seen it before because I've read the Bible many times, but I saw this morning. I was reminded, boy, they look real smart because I knew exactly what they need, and I can give them the reference to take two. But I just happened to be through it. You know what I found? God knows what I need to know to do my job. By the way, he knows what you need to know to do your job. Whatever it might be, God knows that. But if we're not taking our time to allow him to grow us, how are we going to do it? God has given us great and precious promises, it says in that passage. Everything we need for life and godliness. the mundane things. We can be partakers. Let me read. I got to read it too, so you understand here, because I don't want to. Second Peter chapter 1. I know we were here last week, but I want you to see this. 2 Peter chapter 1 says this: Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Everybody who's saved. That's what he's talking about. Grace and peace be multiplied on you through what? The knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. You want grace and peace? You're going to come as you get to know him. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He didn't call you to a mess. He called you to glory and virtue. That's his promise. That's what he's trying to do. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And it says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now listen, we can be partakers of these great and precious promises, to be able to know, to grow in him. And if you don't think you can have it, you probably won't take it. And if you're too lazy to get it, you're not going to get much of it. Can you imagine if those people just decided, you know what, I'm not getting up this morning walking around that stupid city. I'm just not going to do it. We did it one day. You know what, that was just stupid. I'm not doing it anymore. What if they all slept in? They didn't do what God had called them to do, and I don't think they'd get Jericho. Going to church and studying the Bible is not going to give me victory over the sin in my life that's ruining my life. It may seem silly and long and laborious, but if that is all I have to do to possess the promise, I'm going to take it. That's an easy way out. Folks say, well, I can worship the Lord just as well on the golf course or fishing in God's nature. Well, how many scriptures have you learned on the golf course? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Okay, let's think about worship. Some of us guys can't read the newspaper and answer our wife at the same time. Right? When we come to worship the Lord, we come to hear his word, he should have our undivided attention. Tell me you can give him your undivided attention when you're out there doing something else at the same time. Go ahead and think about him and worship him while you're fishing on Saturday. But on Sunday's the Lord's day. He says, I've got something for you. Will you take it? We cannot claim to really give God our undivided attention when we're thinking about other things. You think you gave God enough of your attention. That's what we think. But it wasn't undivided. Listen, not about fighting the problems and the people of Jericho. It was about obeying the Lord and receiving the promise. They were just a happenstance. If I want to possess the promise of spiritual growth, I need to determine to seek it at whatever cost. I need to learn the Word of God, read my Bible, study to show thyself approved, and I need to be with God's people. I'm sorry, that's the way he designed it. If you want to do it, you need to do it if at all possible. Don't give in to your own laziness and indifference. Give yourself time, though, a lifetime, and you will begin to think like God, act like God, be so filled with God that you can even have the love of God prevailing in your heart. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some pastors and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie to wait in wait to deceive, but speaking the things which is I'm sorry, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase to the body and to the edifying of itself in love. The body. We're the body of Christ. And we've got to get together. We've got to grow. And we're going to, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, how are we going to be agreed? Got to get in the same book. You can have spiritual growth. And let me give you one more here today. So we can possess the gospel, salvation. We can possess growth. We can possess it. Go and take it to go through the process. Three, today, we can possess the guidance. Now, next week, come back, and we're going to talk about possessing the goods. All right? We can possess the goods. But let me talk about possessing the guidance. We live in a crazy world. Well, it just said here, we've got, it said that we henceforth no more be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they wait to deceive. You hear all kinds of things today. What's true? What's not true? What does God want me to do? What doesn't he want me to do? We can possess the guidance. He gives it to us if we'll take it. How am I supposed to know what is right and what is wrong? What should I do and what should I not do? What is God's will for my life in this area? What should I do with this and with my life in general? Here's how we possess the guidance. We were here in 2 Peter, but it's all part of it. Know God, here it is, by knowing his word. Know God by knowing his word. My wife has been reading a book about George Washington, the Christian. And you know, now these days they're trying to tell you he wasn't a Christian. He didn't care about God. He was this and this. Now, he wasn't perfect. He's a man. But there was never any intention of this, and he didn't think about this, and he didn't think about this. Well, then what do you do with all his entries in his journals where he poured out his heart and gave historical things? He talks about the fact that some Indian came to him and his journals. Now see, they don't tell you this anymore. They want to throw it out like it was just a fairy tale. Now he doesn't talk about, I don't think he talks about cutting down a cherry tree. But he does talk about the fact that in the battle, she was shot at and he should have been dead. An Indian chief came back later and said, I want to meet this man whom God has his hand on because I shot him. I know I shot him. And George Washington said, you know, when I got finished that battle, I had bullet holes in my uniform, but not in me. And Indian chief says, I know. See, George Washington said that was the providence of God. So we go back to the source to find out what the truth is. The same thing goes with the Word of God. We got a lot of folks trying to change. You know, we got folks who are trying to change history. We got folks who are trying to take the Word of God and twist it and twist it and twist it and say, well, I don't know what to do. Number one, you need to know the Word of God. Look in your Bible, if you will, please. Proverbs chapter 3. Psalms is right in the middle of the book. Go just a little bit toward the back of the book, just a little bit, one book over. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Got a couple points here. You say, I want to know all these things. Well, here I'm going to tell you. Here, in other words, this is how we walk around Jericho in order to get the guidance of God, to know what God's will is. Sometimes God's will is to stop and listen, stand still. I'll tell you when it's time to go. How many times, ladies, when you've been at the grocery store and your kids are all there and the will of the mother is stop. Just stand there. You know, it's so hard. Just stop. Sometimes God says, just stand there. I'll give you the next instruction in just a minute. Stick with me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, my son. I love you. He says, you're my son. Forget not my law. First thing, do what the law says. Obey the rules. Obey the rules. The will of God is to obey the rules. So what's the law? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. The law, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt have one God. No idols, no adultery, no murder, no lying, no stealing or cheating, you know, all those kind of things. Remember the Sabbath day. The law. It has not gone out of date. They've tried to take it off the public places. And by the way, where's that gotten us? It took prayer out, took Bible reading out a few generations ago. Where that's gotten us? He says, my son, forget not my law. Don't throw the law away. But let thine heart keep my commandments. Ah, key word, heart. Heart. Well, I did so and so and so and so and so and so, and I went through the motions and I did all those things. Yeah, I know, but was your heart in it? I'm talking about lip service, eye service. I'm talking about where's your heart? Is your heart in obeying him? You know what? We see the outside. God still knows the heart. You can fool us. You can't fool God. Who is it that's going to give you the possession? So who is it that has to know you're doing right? So I can do it in front of everybody else, but if God knows that my heart's not in it, I haven't done the process. It's kind of like, well, it's a little kid. He was at church, and he kept standing up on the pew. And his daddy said, sit down. Well, later he was standing up in the pew. He said, sit down. One more time. He said, sit down. Well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. And that's where our walk with God is like that. And we expect God to bless us on our intentions. Bless all us on what we were thinking about or what we did on the outside. He says we have to keep his commandment in our heart. Verse 2, watch. For a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That sounds pretty good. That's what I want. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. In other words, I'm going to hang on to mercy and offer mercy. Live by truth. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Here, look, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, read it with me, and he shall, there you go. If we're not going to do what God tells us to do, he's not going to stop, he's going to stop telling us what to do. Not listening. He says, we have to trust the Lord with all thine heart. Now watch me. James says, faith without works is dead. If it doesn't change if what I say I trust in doesn't change what I do, then I don't trust it. I'm coming back next Sunday night. Trusting there's going to be lots of pies back here. In fact, if there's not lots of pies back here, I'm going to be very disappointed. Because I trust with all my heart there's going to be pies back there. Now, fact is, if I didn't believe there's going to be pies back, I wouldn't go back there looking for them. Oh, it's not going to really happen. God's not really going to do that. He says he will. You're telling me that you'll tell me what to do if I will just obey and go through the process you want me to do. Yeah. And you want me to walk around Jericho. Yep. God sometimes asks us to do some things that we think is silly. But he says, listen, go through the process, I'll guide you. I'll guide you. He says, verse 5, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. What does that mean? We have staff meeting on Monday morning. And I know that the staff is basically my family. I understand that's the way it worked out there, but they're staff Monday through Friday. And on Sunday, they're staff. And I said, I talked to my son about that a little bit, but I was just talking about it. He wasn't, not that there was a problem. But I tell him, well, we need this done, we need this done. We have to have this done. Just get it done. And so they say, well, I'm going to do so. I said, check this out and see what you can do. A little bit later in the week, they'll come back and say, is this what you wanted me to do? Yeah, that looks good. You know what they're doing? They're acknowledging me. They're acknowledging my right to veto, to change, to alter, say this is what we need to do. So they're coming in, they're acknowledging me. Listen, in all our ways, we're supposed to acknowledge him. We say, you know what I'm thinking about doing? I better check out with the boss and see what he says. Is this a good thing? Oh, the boss says no. It looked like a good idea, but the boss says no. So what's all right, how do we need to adjust this? Or maybe we need to go down a different road. In all thy ways, see, if you're going to do what you're going to, if you want to do anyway, then don't bother asking God. All thy ways, you really live, yeah, I do. Now, sometimes I don't when it's, when I get a sweet tea and I know he doesn't want me to. But I really do, I probably should do that too. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Watch, look at verse 7. Be not wise in, here's the caution, be not wise in thine own eyes, for fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, I think, do I really have to acknowledge him? Don't be wise in your own heart here. Fear God. Just do what he really does know more. Do things the way God says to do them, even if it seems ridiculous. As we walk around Jericho. Psalm 119, 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We want God to guide us. You know what we do? We wait until there's a problem. Okay, I know there's a verse in here somewhere. I know there is. I've seen, I can... Janet was out someplace and was talking to someone, and this guy says, I know there's a verse. You go find that verse. I know there's a verse in there that says so-and-so. You ever hear Judge Wampler? Remember, he was on the first judge. He used to always say, the good book says, penny saved, a penny earned. It might be out of a good book, but it wasn't this book. He was forever saying, the good book says. Listen, we ought to know what the book says. Not just the good book, the book. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, but continue thou, 2 Timothy 3:14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Make sure you know the source. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then it says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me give you something. You ought to know the word of God. Let me give you another one here. Do good. You want God to guide you, to possess God's guidance. Now, the fact is, I'm not just talking about doing good in the area where you need the guidance. You need to do that. I'm talking about living as he wants you to in every area you can think of. That's the walk he's looking for. And then he said, I'll guide you. If you've got a heart, see, if I've got a heart for me, I'll do good where he's looking. So I look good. If I have a heart for God, doesn't matter where my issue is, I'm going to do good. Try my best to do good in every area. And when I do wrong, confess my sins, he's faithful and just, forgives my sins, and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. So the point is, Psalm 37 says this. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. This is so good. Though he fall, you trip once in a while, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Well, I messed up. I know. Get up. I'll help you. We want God to guide us on some big things, but sometimes we're not willing to allow God to guide us on the everyday things. See, the heart is about we are to do good and want Him to guide us in all things. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So you know how we read that? He will direct my paths in all the ways that I allow Him to direct me. In all the ways that I acknowledge Him, He'll direct me. No, He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. You see the difference there? Some say, well, I'll acknowledge Him when I want Him to direct my path. But if I don't want Him to direct my path, I'm not going to take it over there because He always says the wrong thing. He always, I don't like that. He doesn't like me. God doesn't like me. He always goes the other direction. He loves you. He's for you. He died for you. And if He spareth not His own Son, how shall He not with Him give you all things? Go back to Romans 8. So God wants us to be good. Watch this. Don't yell at your wife and be bitter against her. That's doing good. You want Him to guide you? Don't yell at your wife and be bitter against her. Wives, reverence your husbands. Children, obey. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't commit adultery or fornication. Don't imagine yourself doing so. That's in your own heart. Learn the Word of God. Listen, we ought to know the Word of God. We want Him to grow. Are the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Are you counted as good? Are you trying to do right or just when He's looking? But He's always looking. But that's not what I need the guidance on, preacher. You obey the parts you do know, even if it seems it has no bearing on the current need, and God will fill you in on the parts you do need. That doesn't make sense. I know. God's saying, I need you to take a walk around Jericho. I'll help you. God knows what you're doing even if no one else does. God is the one that gave the stipulation. God is the one who makes sure that it's handled, it's judged. God sees all. If you want guidance on what to do, do what you have been guided to do so far. Get in the Word of God. Do good. Give you another one. Yield to the Spirit of God by obeying what you know so far of the Word of God. Put yourself in position so that you won't slide into sin. How much do you want to stay out of sin? Well, how much do you want the guidance of God? How much do you want the goods of God? We'll get to that. How much do you really want God in your life? Or you just, you know what, He's always telling me what to do. I really don't like it anyway. Now, sometimes I get in trouble and I don't know what to do, so I'll ask Him. That's like sitting on a picket fence. Can't decide which side you want to come down on. And meantime, you're miserable. You hear the old story about an old guy, he had an old hound dog. He was laying on the front porch. Guy was out there whittling. Guy walked by, and every once in a while the hound dog goes, and they were talking, what's wrong with your hound dog? He's laying on a nail and he's too lazy to get up. Some of us are laying on a nail and we're too lazy to get up. We don't know which side of the fence to get on. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. If I acknowledge Him in some of the times, He'll direct my paths all the time. It's about 50-50 whether I direct my paths or He directs my paths. Either way, I'm probably pretty good. You see the foolishness of this? Yield to the Spirit of God when He's told you something, when He's revealed to you something. You know it's in your heart. John 16 says, this is the words of Christ, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Righteous, because I go to my Father and see you, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he will glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. John 14:21, a little earlier that evening, says, he that hath my commandments, watch, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest, show myself unto him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? That's a great question. Are you telling me that you're going to show us some things that you wouldn't show anybody, just anybody else? How is it you're going to let us in on some things that you're not going to just tell the whole world? How is it you're going to manifest yourself unto us and not unto the whole world? He said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Watch. If a man loves himself, he's going to keep his words. He said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. He's not in all thy ways acknowledging him. He that loveth me keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that still small voice inside your heart, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We need to get in the Bible. The Holy Spirit will teach us. We need to do right. We need to do right, and we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Let me give you one last one. Pray. Now, prayer is not an exercise of pushing air around. Prayer is pouring out one's heart to a God that they know will hear him. Prayer is as real as if we're saying, Janet, I'm going to need dinner tonight. Can you fix me dinner tonight? My mother raised a helpless man. Sometimes I can boil water without burning it, but otherwise it's pretty hard. Prayer is saying, I need you. Prayer is saying, I'm going to talk to someone that I can't see and expect something to happen. Expect something to happen. Prayer may seem like walking around the city. Why am I doing this? I'm not seeing anything change. Why am I not doing this? Well, I'm just going to sit down. You know why anything didn't change? Because he knew you were going to sit down. That's why you didn't get anything, because he knew you were going to sit down if you didn't get what you want. I got a message coming about 3 weeks here. Talks about that. He cried so much the more. Prayer. James 1:4 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to yell at you for asking for guidance. Basically, he's saying, come to me, acknowledge me every time. You know what to do? All right, well, I'll tell you. Well, how do you know he's telling you? See, that's why we need to be in here now, learning the book. And he said, we read it, he will teach us all things and bring them back to our remembrance. Oh, that's what the preacher was saying. That's what I read in devotions last week. That's what, I know how to handle this. The Holy Spirit's teaching me. He's speaking to me right now. I know. Okay, now Someone comes at you at work and they just start raking all over you. And what do? You give it back to them. No, soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. You come home, your wife rakes all over you. If you give her more grievous words, you're just going to stir up more anger. You're letting her have it. No, we'll talk about this. We don't have to be angry. My wife and I think we were married about 15 years before we had anything you would consider an argument. 15 years, marriage. We had been together 2 years before that. I had someone say, oh, I mean, you don't ever disagree? I said, yeah, we disagree. Oh, well, you just call something different. Well, we don't have to argue because we disagree. You don't have to argue because you disagree. She eats vegetables all the time. But I've gotten better. And she laughs. But I don't have to argue. Well, I don't want broccoli again. Well, just eat it. It's good for you. And she's right. Right? God's got some things. We were going to get out of town early tonight, were we? God, I know. I'm stupid. I don't understand that. Listen, there are some things that God says, this is yours. I've given it to you. Possess it. By the way, to not possess it is rebellion. Can you imagine, ladies, making a big platter of chocolate chip cookies with the peanut butter in the batter and bringing them and putting it in front of the kids and saying, In fact, sometimes, have you ever noticed sometimes kids, you tell them, this is what you got to have, they don't want it. They want this. So you tell them, this is what they got to have, then they want this. We do the same thing with God. I want what I want. I just want to be in control. What a slap in the face. It says, I'll give you that. I'll give you salvation, the gospel. I'll give you growth. And I will give you guidance. It's yours. And I'm not even going to yell if you come looking for it. I won't upbraid you. Just acknowledge me in all your ways and I'll direct your paths. Now, if I'm acknowledging him in all my ways and he's directing my paths, then I guess I'm going to be having the steps of a good man because he's already directed my paths and my steps are going in the right direction and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Just do what he said. He's daddy. We'll give you another one next week. Father, thank you for speaking to us here. We have to thank you for these dear folks. They're very patient with me. Lord, we just thank you that you're so patient with us. Thank you for these wonderful gifts, all these precious promises that you've given us. Lord, we do ask. Listen, we all need your guidance. We need to seek your guidance. We need to make a decision to acknowledge you, to bring it to you in everything, in all our ways to acknowledge you. And you'll direct our paths. But I want our folks to see the victory and the blessings. All the things there in Proverbs 3, where it talks delights in his way. Oh, my soul. Walk into a house not having to be a war zone, but having to be a safety zone. Lord, we got to do it your way. Now, Lord, speak to us.